Welcome to the Blaxican Conservative Podcast. I am Jermaine Salaz. This day played out pretty much the way I thought it would. In the aftermath of the mass shooting in Buffalo. Joe Biden didn't make his speech. He postponed that till tomorrow. Apparently he's going to meet with the families of the victims. And I understand you have to reach out to them. And obviously he's going to practice his speech. And it's already, I don't think any of his speech has been leaked out to whatever sources, but apparently he's going to target exactly who I thought he was going to target. And that's Republicans, the Republican Party, Republican leadership. I mean, Liz Cheney just said today that Republican leadership led or enabled this kid, this white supremacist, enabled him to do what he did. Now, CNN, predicted, they're very predictable. They spent the entire day blaming Fox News for what this kid did. They spent the entire day blaming Fox News, their competitor, their rival, name dropping Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity. They even name dropped the five. That it's their fault. Democrat politicians, as predicted. Blaming the right-wing media, Republicans, social media. So Joe Biden will, in fact, tomorrow do his press conference or give his speech from Buffalo. He's probably been practicing on it all day. Practicing when to pretend to be angry. When to start shouting. When to start pointing your finger. He's going to spend all day talking about white supremacy, Republicans, gun laws. You know. Again, this country is getting pretty nasty. It's getting worse for some people, not all. There are some people in this country that are just completely naive to news and politics and crime. They're just living their lives. And I guess that's good, you know. You don't pay attention to all this crap. But this is a moment where racial tension is so high. It's high. This political tension is high, very high. I mean, we have a bunch of idiots out in the street. But pretending to be passionate about Roe v. Wade being overturned, you can't pretend to be passionate about something you don't even know what it is. You don't know nothing about it. You don't even know what it means. You're just out there saying, my body, with a picture of a hanger. This country the tension is just so high. Everybody's on edge, it seems. Crime rates are going high. I mean, obviously our focus is on the mass shooting in Buffalo. But 104 people were shot over the weekend. 104. That may not seem like a lot, or it may seem like too little. But 104 people were shot over the weekend. That we know of in the country. I mean, 33 people were shot last week in Chicago alone. 33. Five people were shot and killed over the weekend. Violence is high. Violence is really high. Tension is high. Racial tension is high. Political tension is high. These politicians make it worse. Acting like this is some sort of game, like this is a sport. egging these people on. This is a moment where your leader, if you're the leader of a team, since they always approach it as, you know, teams, this is the time when your leader steps up and calms everything, cools everything down, de-escalates, that's what they call it, de-escalates. But he's not going to do that at all. He's not going to de-escalate nothing. He's going to do what they always accuse Trump of doing. And that's just making the fire bigger. Making things worse. That's what he's going to do tomorrow. Okay, if he gives a speech for 30 minutes, he's going to spend 25 minutes talking about the Republicans, blaming Republicans, blaming right-wing media. What is right-wing media anyway? What does that even mean? Is that racist media? White supremacy media? What does that even mean? I watch Fox News every day. They actually have some black hosts, black news contributors, black male, black females. What exactly is right-wing media? You mean media that calls out this ass clown president that we have? And these fake Democrats, these pimps, these hustlers? Is that what right-wing media is? They actually report crime that's happening across the country? 104 people shot over the weekend. This man's not going to de-escalate any tension. He's not going to bring any calm. He's not going to try to, he's not going to do nothing. He's just going to make things worse. He's just going to bash Republicans, bash Fox News, and they did it all day long. CNN kept bringing people on hour after hour after hour to talk about how it was the fault of Fox News. Again, we're not going to do a comparison, all right, of some of the hate crimes that have happened over the past year, mostly committed by black men, because these stories get swept under the rug. The idiot that did, you know, actually, there were two incidents that happened around Christmas. We all know about the one at Waukesha. I think, what was it, Daryl Brooks? Ran over all those people. Six people killed him. Christmas Day parade. Always making videos and social media postings about how much he hated white people. But the worst one of all was Sammy Williams. Sammy Williams. You're probably saying, who the hell is Sammy Williams? Well, Sammy Williams was not was, he's still alive. A 39-year-old black man from Florida. Had a book's long rap sheet for you know, crimes that he committed throughout his life. Homeless down in the state of Florida. Killed a little 14-year-old white boy riding his bike. Now, he didn't just kill this boy. The boy's name, by the way, is Ryan Rogers. And again, you're probably saying, who the hell is Ryan Rogers? It's a little 14-year-old white kid riding his bike. Was killed by Sammy Williams, a black man. He didn't just kill him. He stabbed him in the face, in the head. That's how he died. The stab wounds were to the face, in the head. Now, again, every time I read certain stories, the first thing I think about is my son. Because I think about, what if these things happened to my son? How would I feel? How can I react? How would I react to it? How would I handle it? This 14-year-old boy, handsome little boy, was stabbed in the face and the head. That's how he died. How many times do you have to stab somebody in the face to kill him? I think about shit like that. So sometimes I hate reading the news. Because again, I always think about myself. I think about my son. and it, what I would do and how I'd react if this happened to my son. And I'm reading this story about this kid, and I was thinking to myself, like, damn, what if that was my son? This kid, this 14-year-old boy, who was he thinking about while he was being stabbed in the face? Was he thinking about, where's my dad, where's my mom to save me, to help me? When these sheriffs arrested him, took him into custody, he said he did so because he wanted to pay white people back for giving black people syphilis. That's what he said. He killed the white kid because he wanted to pay white people back for giving black people syphilis. Sammy Williams, 39-year-old black man, killed a little 14-year-old white boy riding his bike. You didn't hear about it on the news. There was no hate crime investigation opened up by this ass clown, Merrick Garland. And that's just one of like 10 over the past year. And you're probably saying, what the hell does that have to do with what happened in Buffalo? It has a lot to do with it. We see all this fake rage and this BS reaction from all these people, all these politicians. When a white person who identifies as a white supremacist attacks and kills black people. But there's complete silence on the other side. Americans see this crap. They see this hypocrisy. Some people like me, it just frustrates me. Makes me want to move to Vancouver or something. But for others, it makes them angry. Again, our government does not care. Democrats do not care when black people slaughter each other. They do not care. Because it happens every single weekend, every single week, every single day throughout this country. Black people just slaughtering each other. We got these stupid black women in the middle of these protests ripping out babies from under their shirt. I'm killing my baby. What is that? 7%, like I said in the previous podcast, 7% of this of the population in this country is African American female, but they account for 40% of the abortions. There's no interest in that. And all these black babies being killed. Black people killing each other. Turning each other into drug addicts. But now, and again, if you're trying to get my point, what I'm trying to get to is that these white politicians see dead black people as an opportunity to push their ideals, their agendas, to beat their opponents. That's what they're going to use this, what happened in Buffalo, as a way to beat their opponents by pinning this incident on them, by saying it's their fault. Right-wing media, the Republican Party, conservatives, it's their fault. Why? Because they want you to believe that the Republican Party, conservatives, that's the home of white supremacy. We enable white supremacists. That's what they want you to believe. So they're going to use the death of all of these black people to further their agendas. That's what they're going to do. And we buy into it. It's nonstop on the news. Anyway, you'll see Joe Biden tomorrow. He's not going to de-escalate nothing. He's not going to try to de-escalate all this racial tension, this political tension. He's not going to talk about crime that's actually taking place every day. He didn't go to Waukesha, Wisconsin. when those six people were ran over on Christmas, not on Christmas, but the Christmas Day parade, and the black man who did it said he hated white people. He damn sure didn't reach out to the family of the 14-year-old boy who was stabbed in the face. Anyway, we saw some of the victims today. And I'm one of those, you know, I'm one of those people that if you kill somebody in my family, especially my son, I would hope they give you a bond and they release you. Because I'll have to pay you a visit and we'll have to have a talk. One of us ain't going to walk out of that talk alive. I can't imagine what these people were feeling in Buffalo. The last thing I'd want to see is some pimp from the Democrat Party pretending to give a rat's ass. But if you're looking for the president of the United States to actually de-escalate some of this damn tension in this country, it ain't gonna happen. I mean, it's so much going on, man. And again, I live in Cleveland. Every day I look at the news, read the news, there's another dead body found in some field. Some young black dude shot and killed, just laying on the street. Another black female laying in a field of grass, killed and found in an abandoned house. These people don't care. A lot about this 100-page manifesto. I would encourage you all to, if you have interest in stuff like that, to read it. Because what they're telling you on the news isn't the full story. This kid, and I call him a kid because he's 18. And again, if you have a kid or a teenager who's 18, that's still young. That's so young. 18. I mean, he was in a mental hospital just last year. A state that has some of the strictest gun laws in the country. They just happen to have the highest rate of violence committed with guns. New York and California. But, yeah, this is tough. If you're expecting something from this president, hey, don't get your hopes up. There's going to be a lot of hatred coming out of his mouth tomorrow after he discusses the victims. There's going to be a whole bunch of hot garbage coming out of his mouth. Now, should there be any interest in trying to figure out what went wrong with this, with the 18-year-old? Who committed this act? They say, and he identified as a white supremacist. Okay, how did he get there? At 18 years old. How? Is anybody interested? Should they be interested in figuring out how he got there? How he got there? Because race and hatred, those things are taught. Like, we learn those things. And again, I'll use my son as an example. My son is mixed. I'm Mexican and black. His mom is white. He's a mixed kid. To me, I'm not his black dad or his Mexican dad. And his mom isn't his white mom. His mom is his mom. And I'm just his dad. We're his parents. That's it. I haven't had that talk to him about race because race means absolutely nothing to me. race is taught. Hatred is taught. Stereotypes are taught. This divisiveness in this country, that's taught. You're going to hear it tomorrow from Joe Biden. Dividing everybody. Pointing the finger at this party instead of healing. De-escalating. This stuff is taught. Kids are the most innocent things in the world. Until, you know, things get pounded into their heads. Now, look, if you listen to the first three episodes of this podcast, you know about my what happened to me in school. And I had a few friends. I named a few of them in those podcasts. William Doster was probably my closest friend. But I had another good friend, and his name was David Cremens. He was a white kid, big afro, looked like Lion-O from the Thundercats, if any of you are old enough to remember Thundercats. And what pulled me towards David is because, well, one, there weren't too many white kids in the school. And if you were white in this particular school, actually both of the schools, if you were white in these schools, you got your ass whipped every day. Why? Because he was white. That's why he got his ass whooped every day. Because he was white. It was like 10 white kids in the entire school. And if you were white, you got your ass whooped until your parents pulled you out, transferred you. And so I was going through what I was going through with the black kids, and especially the black girls. He was getting his ass whipped every day. So we became friends. He was the guy I was happy to see every day. We ended up being friends outside the school. We started trading baseball cards and football cards. I knew what store to go to buy cars. It used to be like 50 cents a pack when I was a kid. And he lived about a 15-minute walk from the projects. Now, one of the things that stood out to me was, aside from him not living in the projects, but they lived in him and his family lived in a big-ass house. Now, I wish as a kid I could have lived in a house, but not how he lived. It was about 10 people in his house. It was like a two-bedroom house with like 10 people. See, David Cremens was very poor. That's why he had to go to that ghetto-ass school that I went to. That's where they put all the poor kids. And it just happened to be a white dude that was poor. His family was poor. But I would go to his house. We trade cards. By the way, that's why I don't really do this whole white privilege thing. What is that? What the hell is white privilege? This dude was just as poor as I was. He dressed a lot worse than I did. He smelled just as bad as me. His shoes were much dirtier than mine. This was a poor white dude. His white privilege got declined, and apparently so did his family's. Their whiteness didn't get them shit. I mean, they didn't have to live in the projects, but they might as well. 10 people in one house, 2 bedrooms. Anyway, I didn't know anything about race. 6th grade. David Cremens was still my boy. But then I started to learn about myself or what I thought I was learning. I thought I was learning, but I wasn't. I started to be told about race or taught about race. And the school, they started to teach about slavery. And the projects, they started to teach about hatred. About how white people hated black people. black cops hate white, not black cops, but white cops hate black people. And over time, I distanced myself from David for no reason other than he was white. And I didn't want to get seen playing with the white boy. One day at recess, we were, and by the way, if you go to this school, it's right there on Franklin. It used to be called Kentucky. The School of Arts was behind it. I don't know what these schools are called now. But if you go to this school that used to be called Kentucky, there's a playground right across the street, and it's still there to this day. They remodel it every now and then, but that playground is still there, and that's where we were. We were on the baseball diamond, which is still there. We're outside, and David wants to play with me, like we always used to, like I used to do with my best friend, David Cremens, one of my best friends in school. But I didn't want to play with him. Why? Because he was white. I didn't want to get seen by the other black kids in school playing with the white dude. For whatever reason, I picked up a big ass brick and I threw it at David's head. Knocked him to the ground and busted his head open. Now this school, Kentucky, was about a 10-minute walk from the projects, maybe a little longer. And David lived right around the corner from the school. So he ran home, came back to the playground with his mom and his grandma, and they just looked at me. And I'll never forget the look they gave me. Even to this day. That look bothered me so much, and it still bothers me to this day. I have dreams about that, the way they looked at me. The reason why it bothers me to this day is because David Cremens is dead now. He passed away when he was 26 from a drug overdose. And that was my boy in school. And I turned my back on him because he was white. His mom and his grandma saw me. They saw that I was the one who threw the brick at his head, and they couldn't believe it. They looked at me in shock. They didn't say anything to me. They just took David home. He came back to school the next day, left before lunch. I never saw him again. His mom took him out of school. I don't know what happened to him after that. I lost touch with him. Me myself, I dropped out of school maybe about a year and a half later. I was pretty much done with school. And then I find out that when he was 26, he died, a drug overdose. His white privilege didn't do nothing for him. His white privilege was declined. But I was taught hatred. I was taught race. And this is how I reacted. This is how all the kids in that school reacted. Do you know what May Day was for people in Cleveland public schools? May 1st, May Day? All the black kids just went around looking for white kids and beat them up. That's what May Day was in Cleveland public schools. All the black kids left school early, or even the ones who didn't go to school, would just go to random Cleveland schools and just start beating up all the white kids. That's what May Day was. People in this country are taught hatred. They're taught race. Everything I learned was wrong. I learned from the street. I learned from the projects I lived in. And then you go to school, they teach slavery, but they don't teach everything about slavery. What they tell you about slavery in school is they make it seem like it's slavery was exclusive to America. That slavery was simply white people owning black people. And we all know now that that's completely false. Everybody wants to teach more black history. Teach more black history. Are they going to tell the true history? Or are they going to teach history as, you know, as it was shown to us in the movie Roots? As if slavery was exclusive only to America and it was just white people owning black people. At some point, my son will learn about certain things. And it's my job to sort of enhance that. So if he learns about race and he learns that I'm black and Mexican and his mom is white, or why I'm the dark. And, you know, when I pick my son up every Friday, I'm the only black or dark-skinned father in the whole parking lot. I'm the only one. Everybody else in that parking lot is white to pick up their kid. I'm the only one with dark skin, the only one. It's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. I see it every Friday for the past 3 years. I'm the only dark-skinned male in that parking lot to pick my son up from school on Friday. The only one. At some point, my son's going to be like, "Dad, what do you have, a tan?" But when my son is old enough to understand race, he'll hear a lot about it from me. He's going to learn some stuff in school. They're going to start teaching about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, you know, the pillars of African-American history. They teach you the same stuff, Martin Luther King. They don't even call him Reverend King anymore. It's always Doctor. They learn about Rosa Parks and Jackie Robinson and Jackie Joyner Kersee. No, they do not teach about Malcolm X in school. They consider him too controversial. I mean, hell, they don't even teach about Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. My point is that race, hatred, this racial division, this stuff is taught. You know, everybody, you develop your core beliefs, your core values. These things come from the household, but they mainly come from things you've experienced. I mean, hell, when I was a kid, I just thought all black people were Democrats. That's just the way it was supposed to be. I believed all white people were racist. I believed they were all rich. I believed that all Asian Americans or Chinese people knew kung fu. I believed all white girls had a flat ass. We all have these stereotypes and these things that we learn as kids. Only when we experience real life shit is when we truly develop our core beliefs, our core values. But these kids in this country are taught hatred, either through experience or, in David's case, by getting his ass whooped every day. And even by his best friend, me, because he was white. So there might not be any interest in seeing why this 18-year-old kid or teenager or man, whatever you want to call him, why he did what he did, what led to him believing that, you know, taking these people's lives was the way to go. There'll be no interest in getting to the bottom of it. Because all we're going to hear for the next 3 months is white supremacy, gun control laws, finger pointing at Republicans, right wing media this. And it's just nasty, man. It's just nasty. Racial tension is high. Violence is high. People are stressing out about little shit that we shouldn't be stressed out about. Anyway. Yeah, we'll see this. We'll see the president, our leader. We'll see him tomorrow. And we're going to see him blast half of this population in this country. I mean, should I tell my son that his mom is a racist? That she has white privilege? That she has privileges that I don't have because, you know, she's white? Should I tell him that your dad can't accomplish anything because of systemic racism? Or that he gets pulled over when he's driving because he's black? Or that his mom's family owned slaves and my side of the family were probably slaves to her family? Again, all this race stuff, all this hatred, all this division, all this stuff is learned. It's all learned. All your core values, all these things are developed from what you learn from your parents and your neighborhood and your school and your own personal experiences. I don't remember what grade it was. Maybe the fifth or sixth grade. Another one of the white kids in the school, his name is Don Simon. Somebody told me that he's a nurse now somewhere. But he was one of the white kids in the school. And I'm sitting in the back of the classroom and I say to him, I just watched the movie Deep Cover. I finally saw the movie Deep Cover. Deep Cover is a movie with Lawrence Fishburne. He plays a undercover cop. And, you know, the white kid got up and did something. He walked away. And then another kid sitting next to me, a black kid, said to me, he said, you sound like a white boy. Why are you trying to talk like a white boy? And in my head, I'm saying, what? By the way, it's almost like the negative things that happen to you or the most confusing things are the memories that stick with you forever. They're your most vivid memories. Negative stuff and then confusing stuff. So this memory, it's like this shit just happened a couple of days ago. And then he repeated it. He said I sounded like, hey, I just saw the movie Deep Cover. Or however he said it. He was like, yeah, you sound like a white boy. Why are you trying to sound like a white boy? And I remember like, what the hell does that even mean? How do you sound like a white boy? Or how do I sound like a white boy? Even hearing something like that changed the way I talked. Changed the word I was using because of that statement. I didn't even know what that meant. Was that a negative thing? To sound like a white boy? Again, there were so many racial stereotypes that I learned as a kid. And then obviously you experience things and obviously, you know, those stereotypes either go away or you say, oh, that is true. Again, some of the more common ones were, you know, if you were Asian or Chinese or Japanese, then you knew Kung Fu, you knew karate. You know, all white people were rich, lived in houses, and they were Republicans, they were racist. They all ate bologna and had mustard in the fridge. White girls had no ass. And and there were a few others. And then you learn from experience that none of these things are accurate. We're taught hatred, we're taught race, we're taught division. We're taught all these things. Your core beliefs are developed by your real life experiences, things you learn in your house from your parents, from your family, your neighborhood, your school. What the hell was it? I put these videos on YouTube just to you know, mess with my son because he's so past all like the kid shows and all the cartoons. Every time I try to put something on, he's like, that's for babies. That's baby stuff. So from time to time, I like to tease him. I'll say, hey, buddy, let's watch this movie. And then I'll put on some fairy tale for kids. Anyway, I put Jack and the Beanstalk on the other day. Jack and the Beanstalk. Everybody knows the story. Poor mom, her her son. They didn't have any food in the house. They didn't have anything of value. So the mom told Jack to take the cow to the town and sell it. Get some money so they could buy some food. Jack took the cow and sold it to, or traded it to a dude for 3 beans. He took three. Hey, I'm not telling y'all a story. There's a reason why I'm brought this up. But yeah, obviously he took the beans home and the mom said, "What the hell is this shit?" And she threw him out the window. Told him to take his dumb ass up the stairs. He just traded the cow for 3 beans. The 3 beans grew into a big ass beanstalk. Jack gets up and climbs to the top. Fast forward to the end, the giant chases Jack down the beanstalk and they chop it down and the giant dies. He falls to his death. It was a great story when I was a kid because Jack defeated the big giant, the big monster who lived in the sky. But now that I'm older, I look at that story a little different. First of all, the kid traded a cow for 3 beans. But that ain't the most alarming thing. So the boy Jack climbed the beanstalk, right? He went all the way up to the top to the big castle where the giant lived with his wife. The giant wasn't bothering nobody. He didn't do nothing to Jack. He didn't do nothing to his moms. The giant was up there chilling, him and his wife. Then he starts stealing from the giant. Stole his golden harp. What else? Did he steal the golden goose? Stole some money? He made, what, 3 trips up the beanstalk, right? Didn't he climb it 3 times to steal from the giant? So he built the beanstalk, climbed it, stole from this man, ate food in the house, and then they killed him at the end. What kind of shit is that? He climbed that thing, stole from the giant, and then they killed him at the end. And we celebrated Jack, right? As he defeated the giant that didn't do shit to him. But see, Jack was a poor boy. The rich giant with the golden egg, or the chicken that laid the whatever, that laid the golden eggs and the golden harp, all the food. Somehow he was evil. Anyway, I don't know why I just shared that story. I guess my point is we view things so differently as a kid. We view them so differently. I view that story so differently as a kid. The hero of the story was Jack. He didn't do nothing. He was a thief. He was a criminal. He deserved to get his ass kicked for stealing. The wife let you in the house and fed you. She gave you some food. You should have got some of that food and took it back down the beanstalk and gave some of that to your mama. But he didn't. He stole. He was a thief. And then he killed the person he stole from. We see things we see things very different as kids. But as we mature, as we get older, we understand things differently. We see them very differently. The Three Little Pigs is another one. I don't know why I'm talking about kids' fairy tales. The Three Little Pigs. They eat breakfast and the mama pig said, y'all three little dudes, y'all got to roll. Y'all got to get your own house. Y'all got to get on up out of here. So they leave out and they start building their houses. The youngest or the smallest pig builds his house out of what? Hay? The middle pig, the second oldest or second biggest, he built his out of 6. The oldest pig, the big brother, built his house out of bricks. And as a kid, we were taught that if you take your time and you just taking your time and don't rush it, you could, you build your house with bricks. The moral of the story was is that the first pig, the smallest pig, or the little brother, he was lazy. He wanted to get done with it quick so he could start playing. So he built this house out of hay. But that now that I'm older, I see that completely different. Shouldn't the little brother help the smallest one? Shouldn't he help his little brother and not allow him to build his house with hay? I mean, in some of those three little pig stories, the two smallest pigs were killed. They were eaten. No, big brother, you're supposed to help your little brother build his house first. Then the next brother, then you build your own house. Don't, you ain't supposed to let that happen to your little brothers. Anyway. See, we see things different as kids. And then we learn. Anyway. Waiting for Joe Biden to come out. If you're hoping for a de-escalation of all this tension in this country, it ain't gonna happen. I'm out.